Welcome to LOA Today. I'm Walt Thiessen here with Alex King and our special guest star for the day, Louis D'Souza, joining us on this Tuesday, July 14th, 2020. It's 4 p.m. New York time, wherever you are in the world. Thanks for joining us for another episode of LOA Today, your daily dose of happy. And we are very happy because we're adding somebody new to the program. Actually, we're adding a whole bunch of new people to the program, but I can't count them all. I'm not sure how many there are. Hopefully, David will let us know. But David Strickle is bringing the stream of David to LOA Today, starting today. And David, I guess you passed the audition the first two episodes, so congratulations.
Well, I wasn't very nervous because I didn't realize I was auditioning, but
it helps when you have nothing to be nervous about. It helps a lot. There's no doubt. Yeah. But we're really very pleased to have you joining us on a regular basis now. And I mean, we've gotten a lot of good feedback about the episodes you were on. So this is going to be exciting. It's going
to
be a fun time.
And
I'm curious, have I still got the background discussions going with my magnet question, or has that finally subsided?
Well, no, that actually inspired a whole new train of thought that Matt, my co-host that's on my show with me a lot, dove really deep into, and they've come up with this this term, perfect repulsion.
Perfect repulsion.
Okay. Yeah, and it is really interesting. So I think I told you that you asked that question and they answered it, and then I do like a little meditation in the jacuzzi sometimes, you know, at the end of the day, kind of decompressing, and then all of this clarity washed over me over what they were talking about on the show, because I think it was kind of an easy answer, and then it was like, oh wow, that makes a lot of sense. And that if you have two things that are identical, we think that like attracts like, but if you have two things that are absolutely identical, they actually repel because there's no new creation offered in their attraction to one another.
And of course, when I told Louis about what had happened, he instantly said, that's exactly what I was going to say.
I never thought about it. And Matt said, you know, why haven't you talked about this? And I think their answer was something like, well, it's really not that important. So
I have to agree, it's not that important. It just was one of those things that was niggling at me.
You know? But it was a great question because even though it's not important, it's never been asked before. So
which is cool. Okay.
That's the perfect question, right?
Yeah, you know, breaking new ground. Yeah.
What was the question?
The question was, if you have two different magnets, and you know, magnets have a north end and a south end, and you point the two north ends at each other, they'll repel each other. So why was that? You know, law of attraction, you know, why aren't they attracting? So that's what stemmed into the whole conversation that David was just describing.
Okay.
Yeah. It was a question I had originally planned to ask when I went to the Abraham workshop, except when I got there, I decided not to, but that's another story.
Yeah, when you get into that environment in a workshop like that, you just get enveloped in the flow of energy that's going, and a lot of times your questions either get answered or they're just not as important once you get into it.
And it was a combination for me. I mean... walking in the door practically before anything had even started, I kind of got the sense that, you know, that's not really the question you want to ask. It's like, okay.
They're controlling the narrative no matter what, right?
Apparently, yes.
I have heard that before with the stream as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And Louis is joining us today, in part because he is such an expert on Abraham, and in part because he's really curious. If you remember, David, I actually tried to ask a question on his behalf, and the stream gave an answer, and I think he wants to follow up on that a little bit too. But Louis, thanks for dropping in on a Tuesday. It's kind of unusual.
Thanks for inviting me. I really appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, we're glad to have you.
Hi, Daniel. I don't think we've met.
And there's Daniel. Hey, Dan, how you doing?
Your microphone's muted.
Oh, muted microphone.
Yes, sir. I'm mindful of the fact Ariana is going to be coming back soon. She's normally loudest when she comes through the door. So, in
anticipation of that, understandable. All right. Well, I know we have questions galore, including we have one that was sent in by email that we're going to start off with. So, David, why don't you start making your connection? And while you're doing that, I'm going to remind people who are regular listeners, but perhaps haven't checked out an episode in the last few days, the LOA Today app is now available. It is available on both the Apple iPhone platform and on the Android platform. And all you have to do is go to either the App Store or the Play Store, depending on which platform you're on, and search for LOA Today, and we pop right up. In fact, we've gotten past the point where we have to put quotation marks around it because enough people have asked for it that, you know, the app says, oh yeah, I know which one that is. Here it is. And there it is, ready to download. So please check it out. It's going to be the go-to way to be the subscriber and get all kinds of other good stuff. Dan has already donated two courses, a course and an ebook, which I'm in the process of adding into the next update of the app. I'm almost done with it, Dan. And thanks for sending all that material along. But he gave us an audio course from his book, Beyond Intention. There's also an ebook, Beyond Wealth. And both of them are really in-depth about how to attract the kind of life you want to have. So they're great value adds for downloading and installing the app and making that your go-to for listening to the podcast. And thank you for all of you who have done it. That's right. Yes. We encourage everybody to be doing it and tell a friend to tell a friend too, because we want the word to get around. So anyway, let's see how we're doing there. Do we have visitors?
We are here.
They're here. All right. Welcome, stream. We love you. Thanks for dropping in. And right off the bat, I have a question for you that was emailed in from a listener abroad from another country. And that's an important point because of what he writes. His name is Avinash, and he says, "Hello, Walt. I am a daily listener to your podcast. I was wondering if you could discuss the following topic for me. Political leaders and their tendency to repress ideas which go against them or their government. For example, in my country, there are strict laws on freedom of expression on social media, such as Facebook. So how can I maintain alignment in such conditions? Thank you so much."
We will dive into that topic with first of all, understand that politics, regardless of intention behind it, always boils down to a desire to control an outcome. And regardless of what your level of participation is in politics, you are wanting to control the narrative for the masses based on your belief system when you are participating in politics. And therefore, when you are participating and concerning yourself with such things, you are giving that power. You are giving that institution of control power as part of the collective. And more importantly, you're giving it power in your own life. Where we guide you to start off with a baseline relationship with the topic of politics is to understand that your belief system and your focus will always supersede any political movement that's going on. You have heard of political oppression throughout your recorded history, yet you always hear stories of those who overcome that or live the way they wish to live within it or somehow escape it even. And these stories of triumph are your very favorite stories. And of course, the ones that are told and retold are very few in comparison to how many there actually is. And when you are concerning yourself with your political system impacting your life, you are giving it that power and you're going to continue to hold yourself in that space of being controlled. Whereas if your mind is free, you are truly free. And your physical circumstances will follow your focus ultimately. But you have to trust the process and you have to trust the universe to allow that to come to full fruition. Focusing over here on the type of government that is quote unquote in charge of you is going to place you under that rule. Understanding that you may be manifested in a situation where you are having to live within a set of rules, but concerning yourself with that or focusing on freedom and joy and having the clarity that your belief system ultimately will remove you from all of that one way or another, if you get out of the way of the universe and allow that to be, while functioning within the constraints that you have to function in appreciation of them. That may sound like we are talking out of both sides a bit, but you can, in your holding appreciation for what is and focusing your attention on what you desire and making peace with that, you are detuning the power that the negative aspects of that institution of control holds over you.
Oh, okay. It's interesting, too, because when we first brought David on, he was explaining from his perspective and from the perspective of his listeners and followers the similarities between the messages you give us and the messages that Abraham gives us. And I think right there, you just illustrated it through what you gave us. That information was, it was very, I would call it earthy. It was a very down to earth kind of response. And I love it. I just wanted to voice thanks for it. That was great. Because that's the kind of thing I think a lot of people kind of need to hear as a way to handle stuff that's going on today. There's a lot of stuff going on today, and it's affecting a lot of people. So hearing messages like that, I think it's really important. So thank you for that. What do you guys think? Anybody want to comment? Wow. That's the first time in history that they've been quiet. I don't know if I can handle that.
I know, David, and I get to play in the stream a bit more often, so I've got stuff I'd love to say, but I'm going to leave the floor for those that don't get as much exclusive. Be a good human in this instance and not hog the stream.
Okay. Well, that was the one question we have so far that was written in. Nobody's jumping in on the live stream, so it's kind of open here. But Louis, go ahead.
So stream, I've had a very burning question that I've wanted to ask Abram, and I wanted to set the scene. I need to understand, are you pretty much 100% or partly on board with what Abram teaches, or is it 100% or is it partly, or is it? Because then we've got a base that I can talk from straight away.
The base of what you are experiencing, whether you are experiencing the Abraham message or that which we offer, is rooted in source energy, certainly, and the teachings are going to be rooted in universal law. The reason that there is some vibration that is similar to Abraham is because David was very, very inspired by Abraham to finally come out of the closet, if you will, and offer what we are offering to him his entire life. His experience of allowing our message is a bit different than that of Esther's. It is coming from the same place, but anytime you are receiving a channeled message, you are going to be receiving it through a human being, and certainly there is great value in that for those of you who are aligned with it. But you're going to be receiving it in a filtered way. And David's observation when he first discovered Abraham was like he was hearing stereo. He was hearing the messages that we were offering his entire lifetime, spoken back to him from another human in ways that he had never encountered before. Mm-hmm. And there are certainly personality similarities between the two human beings that are offering. In fact, there is almost 20 years to the day of their birth. The differences are in the filtration system, based on the experience that the human that is offering the message is bringing to the table. The purpose of channeling is a human being receiving information in such a way that is not readily available to the masses in such detailed manner. We serve to sort of fill in the gaps for all of you on different levels, depending on how much of your own information, your own stream, if you will, you allow. You all have this connection and you all have a version of this coming to you, but certainly there are some who are more adept at decoding it and understanding it and even allowing it to be spoken and written for the benefit of others. And those are the ones that you very often refer to as channels. The basic message of universal law does not change. The fine-tuned details of how it's delivered and some of the human created static of the message, if you will, gives it a certain flavor that actually causes it to align with a specific audience. And there's nothing wrong with that. And in the case of Esther's message, Esther has led a life of a bit less contrast than David has encountered. Esther discovered her ability to share her message in a very different way, more of a supernatural way, where David's was more developed by him, as far as speaking it goes. The Christian values that are attached to some of Esther's ideas are still attached to the Abraham message, and we are not saying that there is anything wrong with that. In fact, that message is perfectly aligned with its intended audience. It is perfection. And very often, in fact, David has encountered many who claim to be the next Abraham. And he asked us that very question before he ever began sharing us publicly at all. And our answer was very clear. There will never be another Abraham. That is pure and it is perfection. It is exactly what it should be. And it serves a great purpose on your planet. David's intention once he began sharing our message was not to regurgitate the Abraham message. There's no point in that. It was to take what he was receiving and share it and disconnect from the Abraham message. It has been many years now since David has absorbed any Abraham teachings at all, not because they would not serve him in some way, but because he does not want to offer what is already being offered. He is wanting to offer different ideas and different paths, all back to the same place of universal law, but to reach a different audience.
Fantastic. Thanks for that. So just to explain, the earthly understanding of the Abraham teachings, I understand extremely well, and I have almost no questions in that environment at all. It's very, very clear to me. My question is in connection with what Abraham has taught is the way it is from beginning to end. So Abraham says, you are non-physical before you come into this physical universe. And when you come into this physical universe, you take on a contrasting vibrational interpreting machine that is able to tune into different vibrations. And then it's able to experience a contrast. And then you get to know what you don't want, know what you do want. Then you expand, etc. So I've had a very spiritual life and a lot of spiritual experiences, etc. So all my spiritual experiences seem to be touching on source, on my source, and they have awed me and changed me and shaped me, etc. And I understand that I was source before I came here, and when I die, I'll be back to the expanded source of what I want. I'll go into that vortex of expanded source. So I've got that whole thing going on there. So if I was perfect before I came here, I'm going to be perfect after I come here. What have I done? What has Louis done to expand source, which what Abram says is the prime directive, if you want to put it that way. I like using the Star Trek analogy. It's the prime directive is source wishes to expand itself. So if there's anything you disagree with or would like to clarify with that process, then I'll go into my question. My question revolves around our worthiness of this lifetime.
Whether you are worthy of the lifetime or not, or what you're expecting.
Okay, so I was going to just cover all those aspects first and then go into the main question. The question is this. If you guys have all the answers, if the Abrams and the streams have the answers to infinite intelligence, the answers to all the questions, what is Louis doing here to help expand source? What did I do in this lifetime with my non-physical self and my physical self? What did I do to help expand source? If I can understand that, I really think it will explain my worthiness and what I'm doing here, and I'll be able to feel a great sense of that. If I can get really clarity on that one question, and I had to paint some pictures around it so that we all clear about where we are and that the audience also understands what I'm asking. It's a really important question for me, and I'd really like to understand the significance of this lifetime, because as I say, all my spiritual experiences are just experiences of source, which is already there, which is already has all the answers. So what did I do to expand source? How does it look like? What does it look like?
We will start. We appreciate the way that you framed your question, and we will answer it in the same manner. We will start with the wanting to be very clear in the understanding that beyond physical, what lies beyond physical is thought, is consciousness, is what we often refer to as the energetic realm. It is not the human construct of deities or even what you may call spirituality or science even. It is consciousness, and consciousness is eternal. And as far as your physical realm that, that you are currently experiencing, planet Earth as a human being, this is one of infinite scenarios, one of infinite realms. And you as a strand of soul consciousness, part of source, but an independent strand of soul consciousness as you were experiencing Earth, you are infinitely moving through physical experiences. But it's important that you understand that, that you are perceiving linear time in a physical environment to give you this human experience that you believe that you're having right now. And everything that in physical, everything that is happening is not in linear time. Everything that has ever happened.
I do fully appreciate that everything happens in the now. All that's happening in the past, all that's happening in the future, everything. But I really, really get that.
But we are framing this for the audience as well as for you. What you very often humans fail to perceive is that even though everything that has ever happened and everything that is ever going to happen is occurring simultaneously, it is always evolving and shifting and expanding. New thought, new creation. Your planet is a reflection of the entire universe. Your planet is a reflection of all creation, as is your lifetime. And to notice how your planet, your human population is evolving and expanding. Your technology is evolving and expanding. That is a reflection of the energetic realm. The energetic realm is continually being recreated better and better and better, more evolved, more expanded. And that expansion occurs from all of these infinite strands of consciousness that you are all part of, experiencing the contrast of physical existence. So the life that you are perceiving right now as a human being, you are coming here specifically to discern preferences on your planet. And we understand that you are aware of this, but you are here to discern preferences on your planet of things that you appreciate, meaning things that you observe and liken to your state of being in the energetic realm, expressions of source, if you will. And the beauty of your planet is an expression of that which we are, all the way down to every human creation that you choose as your things of appreciation. But you're also here to create and overcome negative things. You often refer to this as contrast, and we like that word very much, the contrast of positive and negative. You are here to find your path to the things that you desire through a journey of contrast. And this is where we are going to get very interesting for you. The thing that we always wanted to make very clear in this experience that you project in as a vibrational alignment with your set of circumstances that you project into. So your gender and your race and your nationality and your religion and your parents, all of that is a set of circumstances that from your higher perspective, you chose to project into, knowing the level of contrast that was going to deliver right off the bat. And sometimes you project yourselves into being a stillborn or aborted fetus. Sometimes you project yourselves into being born with terminal cancer and only living a few years. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you project yourselves into abusive parents or genocide or as an oppressed race. And in doing that, from your human perspective, you view some as blessed and some as cursed and some as lucky and all of this. You're actually viewing it very opposite as you would view it from the energetic perspective. In the energetic perspective, you are going to choose the more and more difficult task as a human being, the more difficult path, because of the contrast that it's going to offer. Because in your experiencing and ultimately possibly overcoming the contrast, you expand your being just the way you expand as a human being when you come in and you are born into poverty. And you overcome that poverty and become a world leader, for instance. And these are your favorite stories. And why do you think that is? Why do these resonate with you so much? These stories of overcoming adversity into triumph, because that is your eternal nature. So when you come and experience your contrast, experience your negative and find your path through it, you expand your being as a human being. But more importantly, you're expanding your being as a strand of soul consciousness, which is a part of that which we are. And in your expanding, you are part of that collective that is expanding our energy, that is expanding the entire universe. In fact, you're, and we know that you are aware of these teachings, that the things that you overcome or the things that you discern as not your preference inspire you to new creation. Every single thing that you appreciate in your current human life was thought before it came into physical being. And most of these things, if you think about it, are answers to formerly perceived problems. The chair that you may be sitting on, the desk that you may be sitting at, the device that you're on, the technology that you're using, the structure that you're in, the electricity that's powering it all, are all an answer to a former perceived problem that needed to be created and overcame. That is expansion. So when you come and experience that, you have a unique human experience. You are all worthy of that. That was your choice to come in the way that you did. And very often you may project yourself into an easier path and get here and find your soul calling you forward to something more contrasting, meaning you are born into great privilege. And then through that privilege, you develop a drug habit or something, some type of illness or something that creates that static in your life that gives you that callus, if you will, that makes you stronger and gives you an opportunity to overcome something. And in the overcoming of it, you expand. And that expansion is universal. The universe began, it is something much smaller and has expanded significantly, so much so that that we do not even go back and access original thought because there's no point. It has been expanded so much. And we are expansive by nature. So therefore, your entry to planet Earth and you're coming here and experiencing that which you call contrast and overcoming it and even not overcoming it. We often say the junkie that dies in the gutter has a unique human experience that causes some expansion for that being. You all have your experience and there's no judgment from us about any of it.
I appreciate all that. So when I'm going back to how I've expanded it. So let's say, you know, I wanted a partner. I've got a partner, a lot of people. I don't have money. I've now got money, or I don't have this and now I've got that. So I played with contrast that seems very similar to everybody else's contrast. There doesn't seem to be, and of course, there's no other Louis around. I'm unique. So there must be levels of uniqueness to it. But there's still, to me, I'm struggling to see how, if you guys have all the answers, infinite intelligence, what I'm still trying to see what it looks like that Louis has done to expand the source.
And that is your
can you give me a personal example of what I did?
You are looking to us to give you your personal answers for you instead of finding your own path through your journey. And we appreciate your intellect and wanting to delve into this with us. But this is why we do not do readings. This is why we do not predict your future for you. There are infinite possibilities for your future. And if you are looking to another to guide you to what your expansion is going to be next, we would never take that away from you.
I really like that answer.
You are going to create that yourself.
And I appreciate that. And I'm still trying to understand the uniqueness that I bring to the table. It's not 100% clear for me. You know, I really appreciate that aspect. I'm not asking you to give me answers. I don't need you to predict things for me. I don't need any of that. But I would like to know what it looks like, what I've done to expand things. Because if I can just get a glimpse of that, I believe I could work on having many of them and expand it big time, you know, and really focus on that. There seems to be something that I'm not clear about on that.
Hey, can I suggest something here?
Yeah, sure.
You said something earlier that caught my attention, and I just wanted to bring it to your attention. You said there must be levels of uniqueness, but to be unique is to be the only one. There are no multiples of uniqueness. There's only one unique.
You are not fully appreciating that which you already are and already have created, and you are also not appreciating the fact that in terms of earthly years, you are not finished. David did not share our message until he was almost 50 years of age. David was working in a very high paying, very unsatisfying corporate environment. Mm. And we do not need to read you to tell you that he is older than you are. There was a lot of time left for you to place contrast in your path. And sticking yourself in this feeling of wondering why you're worthy is going to create some contrast for you.
Mm-hmm.
Revel in that.
Absolutely.
Revel in that. Mm. Understand that this curiosity is a very, very high vibration. The curiosity, even in frustration, is a high vibration because it's going to lead you to your own truth.
Mm-hmm. So my questions are very little about the physical. They're questions like the stream. So Louis has a non-physical self, and that non-physical self is the self that is speaking through you or one like it. What is the difference between, say, my higher self and David's higher self? Is there much difference, or is it really one? Or, you know, I'm trying to understand the variations within source about the differences about the individual aspect, you know, or are they all just one? And I'm a bit confused about that aspect.
The energetic realm does not operate in physical terms, and there, even with your religion and your spirituality and your science, there is a long distance yet to be traveled for humanity to understand that which we are. We are actually much simpler than we are often depicted. But understanding that the physical equivalent of what we're trying to express to you would be, we often use the analogy of an infinite rope. And a rope is made of little filaments that are twisted together to little strings that are twisted together to smaller ropes that are twisted together to larger ropes. And if you imagine that being infinite, and then every little strand, every little filament is a strand of independent consciousness that is all part of source. The entire rope is source, but the center of the rope is what we would call the core of source, the most powerful positive energy in the universe where we reside. You are all part of this. And in your ever-expanding experiences, you are moving more and more into the core of source. There is sort of a vibrational ladder that is the eternal journey that you are all on, becoming more and more into the pure positive, the most powerful energy there is. It is not physical, but we use this to try to illustrate the journey that you're all on, why you are going to choose to come back again and again and again into infinity and manifest in more complex ways to offer yourselves the opportunity for greater expansion. And when we say more complex in terms of planet Earth as being a human being, and you all move through these vibrational cycles of being a similar type of being and having different experiences in an environment, and then you sort of reach an apex and you move on to the next level, if you will. Your video games are not unlike the energetic realm. Think about how all of your video games operate with going to the next level and overcoming obstacles and going to the next level. Where do you think that comes from? That is an eternal knowledge of how the energetic realm operates. And your eternal being operates very much like that. And your physical lifetimes are ever expanding lifetimes. Every lifetime that you have experienced is occurring simultaneously. And those lifetimes are becoming richer and more expressed and more complex with every expansion. So all of your history, your past lives, this is why when someone asks us about past lives, we say, which one? They're infinite. You do not have time as a human being to explain them all. You began as the tiniest particle that does not even exist anymore because it is expanded. You are ever expansive. And there are certainly more and less complexities that you are moving through in this expansion process.
So humans consider ourselves the apex of planet Earth. Are there other higher level places that we can go? And are they necessarily physical? So actually, this is something I wanted to ask you. So where you reside, the source, okay, does the universal law of attraction still apply there?
The law of attraction applies everywhere. We are less impacted by polarity. There are really two laws: the law of attraction, which you well understand, and the law of polarity, which serves to create this fluctuation in your vibration, thus guaranteeing you a contrasting experience. That is why those that discover the law of attraction believe they're going to, on the surface, manifest some life of perfection and never do. There's always some obstacle, and even some, and you've used yourself as an example, begin manifesting on every level to a certain extent. And then what happens? You get bored and you're here speaking with us because you're bored with it all. And your intellect is taking you to another place, and you're exactly where you should be because you are curious, And it is our promise to you that you will find a path to another level of understanding, and you will be so satisfied when you do. And that may very well be through some contrast that you're going to place based on polarity, dragging your vibration down, creating an obstacle in your mm-hmm. life, and then your response to it.
Yeah, no, I can fully perceive that. That's great.
It's really interesting, too, this whole thing about individual and collective, which is kind of what your previous question was about, Lily, because I've always found that to be a fascinating dynamic. I mean, here on Earth in human language form, those seem to be two different opposites that are so opposite they can't possibly live in the same space. But it's not the way I perceive it. I perceive them as actually being two sides of the same coin, really. But it's a fascinating dynamic. On the one hand, part of a stream. On the other hand, a droplet within a stream. And the individuation that comes with that is sometimes hard for us to perceive. I think that's kind of what was behind your first question, Louis. It's hard for us to actually see ourselves. I mean, I think of one of my favorite cartoon strips is The Far Side. And there was a frame in The Far Side one time of a whole bunch of sheep, with one sheep standing up on his hind legs saying, "I got to be me," in the middle of a field full of sheep. You know, he looked like every other sheep in the field. But he saw himself as different, as an individual, as being, yes, part of the flock, but also separate from the flock. That's an important concept for us. It's a concept that can be confusing. It can be humorous, but it's one that I think we all like
that is your ego more. Consciousness. That is the gift that you receive when you come to physical. You receive, in the case of humanity, and in the word that is commonly used for it is ego. You are wanting to be you, and you are wanting to understand you and have your physical experience. So it is sort of like you have an infinite pool of oneness, and then it is dispersed into physical and independent streams, if you will. And in these independent streams, you are here to perceive yourself as a singular being having an independent human experience, and your ego is driving you through that experience, causing you to triumph and causing you to screw up. And all of that, you are receiving expansion, and then you return back to the infinite pool as an expanded being, which expands the pool.
It's slowly getting a bit clearer. That's great. I really appreciate that. There's another question. Abraham Hicks taught me, which I believe was the biggest secret ever, and that is that your emotions are your guidance. Because, you know, I've studied many different religions, different paths, but I've never, ever heard anybody ever say your emotions are your guidance. They're 100% accurate every time. When you're feeling good, you're heading towards what you want. When you're not feeling good, you're heading away from what you want. And that was
so
incredible to me.
So misunderstood, indeed.
It was mind-blowing, because as a spiritual seeker from a very young age, really the core of my being is to understand why we're here. That was a fantastic answer. But then I heard Abram mention once on one YouTube was that there is something that is greater than your emotions, and that is the inner sound. And that is a greater guidance than your emotions. And I was wondering if you could talk to that, or if you have any comment on
this
that.
This is what we have mentioned earlier, and we refer to this very often, as your higher self calling you forward. Your eternal self, if you will, your soul consciousness calling you forward, that can overshadow and certainly supersede your ego consciousness. We do not guide you to try to quell your ego consciousness. We guide you to balance the two, to pay more attention to your higher self. In fact, you all have awareness of this higher self consciousness, and what has happened to you on planet Earth for centuries. Even more than that, ever since you began communicating and gathering together in community, you have been told that higher self is an external deity that is judgmental and assigning you a set of rules in which to live. And that is to control your behavior. And that the contrast of that actually brought humanity to where you are. There's positive and negative on all topics. That higher self that is calling you forward is your soul consciousness, and you are very aware of it. Your ego, though, is fighting that very often. Your ego is wanting to ground you as a human being, and that serves the purpose of giving you this human experience that you're having. In these two things in balance, you are speaking of your emotional guidance system, which is a very good teaching, a very, very good teaching. We teach the vibrational spiral. You are up, you are down, you're in neutrality. Polarity is tugging you in both directions. all the time. You're going through this flow of neutrality so that you are guaranteeing yourself, no matter what work you do, you're going to dip down into lower vibration. You are going to manifest an obstacle for yourself. And as soon as you go back up your spiral in appreciation of that obstacle, you will solve it and expand in the solving of it. That is new creation. That is a process of all new creation. You are doing this whether you're aware of it or not at all times. But we guide you very much to balance your ego with your soul consciousness. We understand that the humans have constructed the idea of spirituality, which is a big tent, certainly, but very often rooted in pushing the ego down and only paying attention to the soul consciousness. You are in that state when you return to your completed state. When you are not physical, you are there eternally. You are here to have this balance of ego and soul consciousness and find your paths to it. And your frustration is your higher intellect and in your the work that you've done to understand this on a higher level. The frustration that has come from that is still you trying to balance these two things, understanding that you are going to have a soul consciousness perspective that is pulling you forward to contrast sometimes, pulling you forward to expansion. And then you're going to have an ego that you've got to regulate to receive the expansion that you're looking for. And the ego may supersede the soul consciousness. And then you become the one who believes that they are special and gifted and above everyone else. And you may bring that back down into balance where you understand that for all of your work and all of your gifts, every single human on your planet serves a purpose. Even those with whom you vehemently disagree serve absolutely a purpose. Hitler served a purpose for your planet.
Absolutely.
And understanding that brings you back into balance because you are truly zoomed out to a higher perspective when you can hold appreciation for everything that happens in your life, everything that happens on your planet. That's why we do not judge. And that's why we say we speak in terms of positive and negative in human terms. But from our perspective, there is no negative because that which you consider negative inspires new positive, actually inspires all new creation. Therefore, it is all positive.
That's a positive thing.
Stream, when I meditate, sometimes I have like the sound of electric wires, you know, like power lines, or I start having the sound of waves, or I start having the humming of bees, or I start having different sounds, probably because I'm tuning into different vibrations, which is the way I look at it. Are these sounds, one group has mentioned that there is an inner light and an inner sound, and that's the direct way that source speaks to a human without any filters. So, you know, Saul on the way to Damascus was blinded by a light, Moses in the burning bush, and you've got hundreds and hundreds of spiritual examples of light and sound, that have been used the word spiritual. I disagree with that word very much, like you're talking about. I've come to look at spiritual from a completely different aspect and angle, but it's a word humans use, so kind of referring back to it now and again. Are these sounds that I'm hearing and maybe light a more direct form of source speaking directly to you? I'm just wondering if you've got any comment on that.
Your inner emotion is your connection to the energetic realm. Everything else that you are experiencing is physical. So what you are hearing is physical. What you are seeing is physical. What you are smelling, tasting, and otherwise are all physical elements. So it is your perception of what you are experiencing in the energetic realm. The true connection to the energetic realm, first and foremost, is how you feel, your emotions, as you have learned. The things that you are hearing are absolutely your tuning to the energetic realm, but you are experiencing it in a physical way. And there are humans that experience all of this in multiple ways, but you are taught to shut it out and ignore it and think that it's nothing or think that it's something different. And you, in your quiet time, using your imagination to bridge the gap, are allowing a listening of the energetic realm. Certainly it is real. Certainly it is real. It's important to understand that your creation begins, of anything, begins with your imagination. And you have this way of telling yourselves that you're just imagining it. David used to see things. He used to see shadows in the corner of his eyes. And in fact, when he began really trying to tap into that which we are without grounding his energy, he was tapping into all sorts of things and lived in what you would consider a haunted house. but that was his perception of the energy that he was tapping into. So in your quiet time, your desire to connect on a higher level of the energetic realm, you are absolutely hearing noises that may not be emitted by anything in your environment, that you are using your imagination to bridge the gap, and you are creating the sense of hearing the energetic realm. Enjoy it. Revel in it.
Understand, wow, I do.
You can manifest all sorts of physical examples of the energetic realm. It's all around you, and it's part of you, and you are part of it.
It's fun as life goes on, exploring and experiencing what you're talking about here, at least the way I'm understanding it right now, which is, for me, it's, every once in a while, I will sense something. And I say the word sense because I know other way to describe it, but I get some sort of a signal of some kind. And I'm so used to ignoring it, or like you said, we're trained out of trusting it. But as time has gone on, I've been learning more and more to trust that there's something there that is, it's real. It's something that, yes, I imagined. Yes, I created, but it has its own reality, and it's not something to be ignored. It's got value to it. And that's both. Well, at first it's like a doubtful kind of project. Like, yeah, okay, sure. Right. Yeah. Tell me another fairy tale. But after a time, it becomes, well, this is kind of cool. I'm getting some stuff that I never really got before. It's giving me ideas I hadn't really thought of before. And in that sense, it's contributing to this expansion that you're talking about. And then as the experience continues to evolve, it becomes, wow, the more I pay attention to it, the more cool things happen in my life. This is really wild stuff. And then I hear other teachings. I hear, you know, the Abraham teaching or the Secret or other teachers who teach law of attraction type stuff. I say, whoa. I mean, that resonates on a deep, deep level. All this stuff all I'm having to do is just pay more attention to what's going on inside, and I'm getting more stuff like that. And it's almost amazing.
You all the time, all the time. And it is simply, you have all been taught to ignore it, and not just in your lifetime. Humanity has been taught to ignore it through several cycles of lifetimes. The collective consciousness has moved through this. But in your recent history, you have all began to question these things. And we say all the time that your questioning of all of these things are causing your institutions of control to crumble beneath your feet.
Oh, yeah.
That's why your governments are in the state that they are in. That is why your religions are in the state that they are in. That is why your even the monarchies are crumbling. All of these things are crumbling because you are coming to full awareness that you do not need them.
And experience of that. Even the experience of that is fun.
You don't need it. If you didn't have rules and laws and all of these things and judgment, you wouldn't need it.
I was a political science major in college. And one of the reasons I engaged in that major, I've often asked myself, why did you major in political science? Well, you know perfectly well there was no work for you. Why did you do that? And I was confused about that for the longest time. But I finally realized I did it because it was fascinating to watch. It was fascinating to, it was kind of like watching some sort of a drama on television where everything is falling apart. And that's been my perspective of government all along. I mean, even when I was very much involved politically, my perspective was what's known as libertarian, small or no government, you know, just let the whole thing disappear. And now I've kind of even moved beyond that to the point where I'm thinking of it. I just enjoy watching the whole thing just kind of go through its, it's almost like watching a bridge collapse, but without, you know, the damage that comes from hitting, you know, beings underneath the bridge. It's just sort of like, it's more like the spiritual bridge is kind of falling apart. And it falls apart in very specific ways.
Be very excited about that. The collapse of government, the collapse of your organized religions, in any element of control, any element that seeks to control you or the masses.
I love it.
Do not fear the destruction of these things. That is the collective at work.
And I'm enjoying the fact that you're saying that, because this is a very strong feeling I've had for a long time in my life, and to hear it validated in this way, like, whoo, I'm jumping up and down with excitement. Oh my good, I get to actually celebrate this stuff. And for years I would, like, you know, hide in a corner, like, oh geez, I want to be embarrassed about this. Well, I don't have to be embarrassed anymore.
Be excited about it. David used to live in a building in San Francisco, a very expensive apartment building. And he was very old for that building. Most of the residents there were in their 20s and 30s. They were millennials. And many people of Generation X would judge millennials as being lazy and listless and right, not following the patterns. And he realized very quickly that they get it right. They are born up to speed with the time they were born into and are free Yeah. They're entrepreneurial. They are moving around from country to country. They're not necessarily getting married. They're not in a rush to reproduce. They're not following any of these rules. They're not paying attention to politics by and large because they have no need for it. There is wisdom in age, and there is also wisdom in youth, because the youth are born up to speed with the time they enter in, and you are ever expanding. And your planet, even though you may look at the state of affairs and believe that it's going down some wrong path, your planet is awakening. This is a very exciting time to be a human being. You have collectively brought yourselves here. And as much as we say that spirituality is a human construct, the New Age movement ushered this in. New Age movement was created by evolved thought, people looking at their parents thinking, I do not want to live the way they lived. I do not want to be under that level of control, and questioning and pushing away from the traditions. And that inspired a New Age movement, which is morphed into many things of human creation, very ego-based very often. But when you strip it all away, and it comes down to your higher self connection, an eternal source, you're all here having a temporary human experience and getting a deep understanding of how creation occurs, which is the law of attraction. That is very new to your planet. David understood that at a very young age, but didn't apply it fully until midlife. As most of you do not.
I'm remembering, it keeps hitting me in my head. I keep remembering this book. Louis could tell me which country this author is from. He's from Africa. He's an African author. His name is Chinua Achebe, and he wrote a book called Things Fall Apart. And his book was basically designed to show all these horrible things going on. But his title resonated with me. And even as I'm reading the book, I'm saying, you know, I get where you're going with the book, but your title says something entirely different to me. It says to me there's a celebration that's falling apart. What's that, Daniel?
The Nigerian author.
He was Nigerian. I wasn't sure of that. Okay. Yeah. It's a very fascinating book, very interesting book. But I just recall reading that one thinking, wow, he almost gets it. He almost gets it. He just needs to take that one last step and say, this is good. This isn't bad. This is good.
The journey, the book served your purpose for your journey, and you connected the dots, and perhaps the book could not be published fully connecting the dots because humanity wasn't ready for it.
Possibly, I don't know.
Action has always been, but your awareness of it as humanity is relatively new, because it was packaged and sold in a very different way that, yes, you attract, but you attract via a deity. And as long as you obey the deity and worship the deity, you're going to receive what you want. The belief was the key. That works still. You can give your power to any deity you wish to give your power to, as long as you believe it's going to work. But you don't have to do it.
One of my favorite things to do when I'm either discussing with somebody what's going on in world affairs or helping somebody who's struggling because of it or whatever is to play the story out. I ask them, okay, you're very concerned or even afraid about X that's going on. Tell me what happens when X completely plays out. Go right to the extreme. And then when they do it, it's an interesting thing. They start to realize there's nothing wrong there. There's no problem there. You know, and they find themselves trying to justify the problem. And I know that because I did the same thing. When I played that same little scenario out on a number of different issues, I realized that it wasn't bad. It was all working out well. It was working out in many cases better than I thought.
You can fear map forward or backward. It is all happening simultaneously. Where did the fear originate? What caused you to develop this fear? And you're exactly right. If you allow this thing that you're afraid of to completely come to full fruition, what's really going to happen to you? Right. There's nothing on your planet that can end that which you are. The death is not what you perceive it to be as a human being very often. Yeah. We guide you not to fear that first and foremost, because it's the one thing you're all going to do.
You know, I had an experience where I was very sick, went to hospital. I came back and, you know, I just had 5 days where I now understand what happened to me is I was completely tapped into source. I had these incredible ideas that are incredibly juicy and satisfying just flowing through my mind. And I was sitting there salivating and all the rest of it. But one thing that blew me away that I wanted to ask you about is I was inexorably and massively humbled. I felt incredibly humbled in the space that I was tuned into. And I was wondering what that kind of meant, because I'm generally quite a strong, positive, you know, a little bit egotistical individual, but this experience was so humbling. I was just humbled to the core of my being.
That was the retuning of your ego, because you were encountering something that made you question everything. And in your questioning of everything, you began perceiving your ego very differently. Mm-hmm. And in your perceiving your ego very differently, you expanded significantly in that experience. We call these experiences clarifying events. When you manifest something negative and you take that something negative and find your way out of it to the positive, and you receive clarity in the process of doing that. That is why all of your negative exists. And the more impactful from your perspective your negative event is, the more clarifying it can be if you allow it. And with your tools, you were able to find appreciation for where you were, and that it gave you the opportunity to connect unlike you usually allow yourself to connect. And in that connection, you questioned your ego. And if you're questioning your ego, you realize it was not necessarily a bad thing, but you changed your perspective of it. And you are so changed now that you very likely do not even remember how you were before that event.
How does the stream define the word ego?
The human consciousness that you acquire, and there's contrast on all topics. So there's contrast in ego, but your ego is your unique human consciousness that overshadows the eternal nature of your full consciousness, so that you can come to planet Earth and have a one-off unique human experience. There's a reason that you do not come with full knowledge of all of your past experiences or the entire universe. Your human mind could not comprehend that. And the reason that is designed that way is so you can have this, if you will, this tiny human experience for the expansion that it will offer. Because if you projected yourself with all of your eternal wisdom as a human being, there would be no experience for you to have. You would begin manifesting everything that you wanted from the get-go.
Absolutely.
And be bored, and you would return to your completed state sooner than later. And you see this in your terminally ill children very often.
You've just confirmed one of my other questions and fitted the two into one beautifully. Thank you.
We have a knack for that sometimes.
That's fabulous. Talk for a second. We are running out of time here, but I always want to milk these as much as possible, even though we've got weeks and weeks more to come in the future. There's only now, so I'm going to go with now. Talk a little bit more, though, about the last comment you made about how children with terminal illnesses experience this and demonstrate it in a big way. That's something that I think most people don't think about very much when it comes to a terminal illness in a child. Most people think about is, oh, how terrible the child's life is ending so soon. And, you know, it's one of those horrible things in life. It shows how much we're really just victims who are, you know, floating on the sea of life out of control.
We use that example because very often you hear of these children that come and they are born into terminal illness and they do not live very long. And the stories of them, especially once they have crossed over, is what a bright light they were, how enlightened. Their poetry is published, their ideas are shared. That is a very advanced soul coming to have a very advanced experience and having that experience in a very short amount of time, experiencing the contrast of being born sick or even being born into genocide or something of that nature. Your sick children tend to get more attention for various reasons, but that soul had the experience that soul desired in that short window of time and returned to their completed state. And there's perfection in that. And what is offered in that is also a similar expansive experience for the loved ones of that child. Of course, being human and having your ego consciousness, you have choices to make and how you're going to find your path to appreciation of that. And very often that path is not taken. There can be a lifetime of grieving, if you will. But very often you see coping mechanisms set in because your vibration is going to be raised by polarity no matter what, just like it's going to be lowered. So the grieving parents eventually are going to run out of steam in their grief and raise their vibration and find appreciation of what a bright light that child was. And some will even find the gift that very temporary experience was for them. There is a gift in every piece of contrast there is. And that is our promise to you. And we understand that if you are suffering from something and you are buying into this narrative that is very common on your planet, that you're victims and that things are out of your control, that this was a horrible thing that happened to you, as long as you hold yourself in that space, you're not going to expand much in the experience. The expansion is in the path to appreciation of it. And it's not instantaneous, and it was not designed to be instantaneous. It was designed for you to go through some pain and some hurt and some soul searching, if you will, to have your clarifying event.
It's a big deal for a lot of people, this victimhood stance. In fact, there are people who, if they ask me about what I understand about law of attraction and the ideas that are surrounding law of attraction, they will say to me, you are blaming the victim. You're blaming and shaming them for going through something that's outside of their control. How dare you? How can you do that? And I usually just try to take a step back. Occasionally I can come up with something that will help address the question, but often I'm at a loss. How do you address somebody when they come to you like that? When they come from that place of, oh my God, how can you possibly blame them?
We are not judging any of it, and David has been guided to a space to where he no longer is bothered by it. But in the beginning, when he published his book and things of that nature, there was backlash for that type of thinking. And from a human perspective, there is contrast on all topics, as we say over and over again. There are going to be people who are ready for what you have to offer. There are going to be people who are not ready for it. And right. It's important to understand that you're focusing on your message with high intention to connect with those who are ready for it. First of all, we'll weed out so many of the ones who are not with that focus, rather than focusing on the ones who are bothered by it and simply appreciating the ones that are bothered by it and allowing them to be bothered by it and not needing to argue your point.
Absolutely.
Allow them to be bothered by it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's true. It's really important. It's one of the things I've been learning the most, I think, this particular year. And it's a lot to learn. It's a big shift to make.
There's one thing Abram said to me which made so much sense, is that every individual, no matter who they are and where they are at any moment in time, is at the peak of their understanding and expansion. And that needs to be respected. Mm-hmm. And that was just like a light bulb moment for me. It's like, yeah, wow.
They are here having their experience, and if they are wishing to focus on victimhood, that's
absolutely.
And there's no judgment in that. Allow them to do it. And even in their anger at you, that is about them, not about you. Don't internalize that unless you choose to do so, and allow them to have their experience. And you're not needing, and you have both already encountered this. We are sure of this. You're not needing to be right, and you're not needing to argue your point. You are seeing less and less and less of that type of information.
Right. Yeah.
It becomes almost meaningless to argue your point, and you can see both sides so clearly. And then you sit there and saying, well, I can understand your point. Yes. And you're just sitting there saying, it's all okay.
And what a very rare at this time on your planet point of view that is, and how freeing it is for the one who is absorbing that.
Very liberating.
To be right.
It's liberating, but it's also challenging. Let's be honest. It is a challenge because we're constantly faced with people who want to put it down. And so we have to really learn to trust what it is that we know.
But if
what
you are, then that is your agenda to, if you so choose, to work on why you're constantly faced with that.
Mm.
When David detuned that relationship,
It vanishes.
He receives far
because
less.
The law of attraction brings to you what you now, your new thought, your new thinking. So,
oh yeah, sure.
You're now attracting a different person at a different time. Yeah.
I'm trying to address the experience of it. The experience of it is a wild experience. It's like, whoa, this is really something to experience.
Anytime
you emptied the beach recently, Walt.
Right.
That's right.
His own vibration. That is, we guide all of you to do that. Check in with your own vibration when you're finding yourself needing to prove a point or be right or argue a point about something, and step back and raise your vibe and revisit and see if you still want to engage in that way from that perspective.
That's a really powerful thing too, because that is what I've been practicing. And it's a different, there's, again, the word experience is a different experience from the old experience. The old experience of fighting and resisting and I've got to be right, like you were talking about, feels so different from the experience of that stepping back and, you know, appreciating it for what it is. And yeah, I don't have to agree with it, but, you know, that's the way that person are at right now. That's what they're feeling. That's what they're experiencing. That's what they're believing. Okay, well, we'll just respect that for a while. That's an entirely different feeling. It's an entirely different experience from the fighting experience. It's so different that it's almost like, can they really be part of the same universe? But I guess they can.
and you will find yourself in a minority at this time on planet Earth operating that way, but it is so freeing, and you have truly discovered your own worthiness when you are not needing to justify it by being right on any topic.
Mm-hmm. Very true, very true. Well, as much as I want to continue this, I mean, Louis, you're welcome to keep coming back week after week, because I know you got more questions too, but we do have to draw this to a close. So, Stream, I want to thank you once again for, first of all, coming today, and second of all, agreeing to continue to come back each week, because, oh boy, there is just so much here to explore. I've always wanted to talk with Abraham, and this is just as good, maybe even better, because this is different from Abraham, and I'm loving it. So thank you for joining us. We really, really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. Really appreciate it.
And while David is reconnecting to being David, Louis, what's your thought? I mean, was this what you were expecting? Was it different from what you were expecting?
You know, I was really kind of open. I just wanted to talk. So I still have ideas and concepts, and it's helped clarify some of them, which is exactly what I'm looking for. You know, I have the strong desire, as you know, to understand why we're here and where we're going. You know, that has been so strong in me from tiny, that, you know, to get greater clarity, to have Abraham Hicks give to me what they've given to me. And you know, what I find is one of the best things Abraham gave to me was taking the same philosophy and having thousands of different people in front of you talking different scenarios, and then they use the same philosophy with that scenario, same philosophy with this scenario, same philosophy with that scenario.
I was like when they used to say, what was it, you know, we had one answer for everything.
Exactly.
Yes, right.
I can almost say what Abram's going to say. You know, that's how they're going to answer this one. And they always say something slightly better and different than I could do it. But you get to the stage where you really and you're living the philosophy. You're not just talking it, or, you know, you can ask Walt. I really have integrated the Abram teaching completely and living it.
Yeah.
And I love that. It's just so freeing and powerful. But the thing that I'm still trying to understand is more about the non-physical. I've worked a lot with energy and the body, and there's loads of little questions about the more non-physical aspect, because we've got a lot of answers about the physical. I mean, they've really nailed that down and clarified it to a huge degree, but there are my questions all lie on this slightly non-physical arena. Yeah.
Well, and my knowledge is, and of course I'm not channeling them, I guess you know.
Yeah, yeah, I'm going to work that out.
So my knowledge is, you know, that it really is, the energetic realm is not nearly as, we make things complex from a physical perspective, because we sometimes need it to be all mystical and complex. And you know, I hear people talking about, you know, I'm going from 5D to 12D, and I've got 12 ascended masters, and 24 angels, and I'm like, oh no, that's a lot.
What is all that? Oh, I feel sorry for you.
Consciousness, and we're all part of it. And you know, even though we're sort of moving into this core, it's not a hierarchy or a court or. You Absolutely. Know, it's none of that stuff, but you know, the stream will turn right around and say, but if you perceive angels or you perceive ascended masters, there's no judgment. There's nothing wrong with any of that stuff. These things are human created tools, but we're humanizing the energetic realm, and humans are a little dot, you know, in an infinite pool of types of being that, we're perceiving energy in a certain way based on our human abilities to perceive. And it's very limited, so that we can have this unique humanness to us, which is great.
That's kind of what I was trying to, there's a little point that you were making that I was trying to get to in my conversation, no part with the stream, because you just made the point that we're like this little dot in this much larger consciousness. And certainly that's a very valid way of understanding it. But I also understand it a little bit differently. At the same time, I understand that we are all very big dots. Maybe the word dot isn't even appropriate. We are big entities, if you will.
Well, and it's because
we're both.
We're living this human experience as a little human dot from our perspective as a human being, but we're everywhere.
Exactly.
We are everywhere at the same time. So, you know, from a human perspective, we're a speck of dust. But from our eternal perspective, we're living on all those other planets, if you will, or all those other physical places that are beyond just planets. And, you know, it's mind-boggling to even begin to think of infinite creation.
I don't even try to do that. I find myself kind of putting out my feelers, so to speak. I feel what I'm doing in this planet, in this physical realm. And then I'm also learning, this is what I've been doing most recently in the last few years, learning to feel the other part of me, that non-physical side, feeling both at the same time.
Yeah.
And when the stream was talking about trying to achieve the balance, that's what I was thinking about. I was thinking about, I want to feel both of those.
Yeah. Well, that's what, Taya, the practice that we teach, that's what Taya is balancing the soul consciousness and the ego consciousness and working on your vibration to keep those things in balance as much as you can. And then, when the vibration tips one or the other, appreciating and exploring it and then moving back into balance.
And I'm also really appreciating what Louis has told me in the past, what other of my co-hosts have told me, what various teachers have told me, which is that at its core, when you're really in that high vibe place, when you're really in that balanced place, it's easy. It's so freaking easy that calling it easy is actually too difficult. It's just pure easiness. And I'm getting that now.
It's just that bliss that you don't need anything to change to be happy. You're happy in And it's an amazing place to be. But then you get there and you're kind of like, okay, I've been blissed out enough. Now I want to go create some contrast.
Absolutely.
You know, I need to get sick. I need to get, I had identity theft not long ago. And I realized that I was going on this long pattern of very little disruption in my life. And I manifested identity theft. But I solved it so quickly by appreciating the identity thieves.
Exactly.
Wow, these people put a lot of effort into stealing my identity. I have to respect and appreciate how much they put. And I haven't thought about them. So everybody's like, don't you know who? And now I'm like, no, I don't care.
Not important.
It's all good. I don't care.
That is funny.
That is a good story.
It's very good. Well, David, I know you've got that. You probably have various sessions you have to go to and so forth. So I'll let you go. But thank you once again. First of all, thank you for joining us on a weekly basis. I know I said that
every Facebook, Tuesday, right?
Every Tuesday. Yeah. Yeah, starting this week, not next week.
Starting this week. I was going to say something that is the more I channel, the loopier I get on other ways. But I'm fine. I love channeling so much. I just want to get to a place where I can just have handlers do everything, and I'll just show it. I used to call Esther Hicks the Beyonce of channeling because it's kind of what she does.
That's true.
So I want to be the Beyonce of channeling too.
All right. Well, I'll help you get there. I'm going to do some serious promoting of the shows that you're on too. I'm going to make that like a big thing that I push. So we're going to get some good attention for it.
Really appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, guys. So anyway, I've got to sign off to the audience. First of all, Daniel and Alex had to sign off a little bit early. Daniel had a session he had to go to, and Alex wasn't feeling too well. Hopefully she's feeling better, but Louis, I was glad you were here to carry on your conversation. And
I really appreciate it.
You were asking some great questions. I mean, really. First of all, I saw the smile on your face, so I knew you were enjoying it, But they were really high, insightful questions. So thank you for coming on your not
welcome.
Day.
Thank you.
Yeah, well, glad to have you.
I really love it.
Thank you.
Anything
very much
to do with life, the universe, and everything?
That's right, yes.
If you can prove to me that it's 42, I'm always happy.
Thank you, Douglas Adams. We appreciate that. And thank you to our live stream listeners, but most importantly, thank you to our podcast listeners who are all downloading the LOATA app, right? I know you're doing it, but thank you for doing it. We appreciate you so much. We'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.